Our Words for Life today is entitled Guess Who's Coming to Dinner and is brought to us by Reverend Kevin Peterson of Ormond Anglican Church. He looks at how a woman with a life full of sin interrupts Jesus' dinner with a local religious leader and what that teaches us about God's forgiveness. The introductory Bible reading is Luke 7, verses 36 to 50.
We're reading today from Luke chapter 7, from verse 36 to 50. One of the Pharisees asked Jesus to eat with him, and he went into the Pharisee's house and took his place at the table. And a woman in the city, who was a sinner, having learned that he was eating in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster jar of ointment. She stood behind him at his feet, weeping, and began to bathe his feet with her tears and to dry them with her hair. And then she continued kissing his feet and anointing them with ointment. Now when the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw it, he said to himself, "If this man were a prophet, he would have known who and what kind of woman this is who is touching him, that she is a sinner." Jesus spoke up and said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher," he replied, "speak." A certain creditor had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he cancelled the debts for both of them. Now which of them will love him more? Simon answered, "I suppose the one for whom he cancelled the greater debt." And Jesus said to him, "You have judged rightly." Then turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house, and you gave me no water for my feet, but she has bathed my feet with her tears and dried them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but from the time I came in, she has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she has anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I tell you, her sins, which were many, have been forgiven. Hence she has shown great love, but the one to whom little is forgiven loves little." Then he said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." But those who were at the table with him began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" And he said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." And that is the word of God.
Thank you, Simona. Let's take time to pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You're always surprising, always challenging our preconceptions. Give us grace to enter into the story today that we might see the woman forgiven and the Pharisee in his need and there place ourselves. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Guess who's coming to dinner? I don't know if you saw the movie. Was it Sidney Poitier who was in that? I never ever saw it. Is it worth seeing? All right. If you've got a copy, I'm interested. That'll be a good Sunday evening distraction. Well, one thing's for sure. Things were never very comfortable for very long when you were with Jesus. He had the uncanny knack of exploding any categories we invent for him and challenging us to think again, who is this guy? Or probably more to the point, just who does he think he is? And we've heard that Simon the Pharisee had invited Jesus to dinner, and it seems that he had expected to entertain a prophet, for that's what people were saying about Jesus. So if you turn back to verse 16 of our chapter, this is what you'll find. "They were all filled with awe and praised God. 'A great prophet has appeared among us,' they said. 'God has come to help his people.' This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country." So clearly Simon had heard this report, "A great prophet has arisen among us," and Jesus is passing through town, or he invites him. I'm not quite sure how it all works, but anyway, Jesus ends up at his dinner table. Well, you heard the story read, and it doesn't take very long for Jesus to disappoint this expectation that Simon has. So verse 39. "When the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, He would know who is touching him and what kind of woman she is, that she's a sinner. Right? So he wasn't much of a prophet, was he? Because surely he would have known. And then as the meal proceeds, Jesus does something totally unexpected and forgives a woman's sins. This is something that only God can do. And suddenly nobody in the room has any idea how to take Jesus. They're kind of all on unfamiliar territory. Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." And the other guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this who even forgives sins?" So they kind of began with a sort of a reasonable expectation of how the evening would go, and the thing quickly turned into a catastrophe, and kind of nobody knew how to take Jesus. They just didn't know what to do with him. Surely this is the point of the story. Who is this man? Well, the action revolves around a woman from Simon's hometown with a colourful past. She crashes Simon's dinner party, probably not that hard to do in those days. I think throwing a dinner party would have been a fairly labour-intensive exercise. Certainly the cookhouse would have been out the back somewhere, and it may have even been for an occasion as important as this that they would have had food brought in from all over town. So you get a sense that, you know, there's the meal area and then there's this sort of activity in the background, people coming and going, and she could have easily sort of slipped in. She is the one in the story you can't help but notice. Even though she positions herself in the background, her sobbing, her wetting of Jesus' feet and drying them with her hair, her kissing them, and eventually her filling the entire room with the aroma of her exquisite perfume, all thrust her into the spotlight. Now I'm wearing aftershave today. That's a very nice one. And I thought, I don't wear it very often, and I thought I had an atomizer, right? And at this point in the sermon, I could fill the room with my lovely perfume, but the top's come off the thing and I don't know where it is. So you have to imagine, right? Stand nice and close during tea time. You might just get a whiff of my beautiful perfume. But I've been to Anglican churches that do this sort of thing properly. And you know when you get a steak ordered at a restaurant, it comes out on the cast iron, you know, hot plate thing with the wooden tray underneath and, you know, tss, you know, that sort of sensation. So some Anglican churches have this little hot plate arrangement, and I was at St. John's Finch Street for a year, and they put dried crystallized stuff, must be incense, on the thing, and up goes the cloud, right? That's proper Anglicanism. And it goes up high, and there's always air movement up there, and they can't see it. Sort of moves along down the church and dropped on the woman in row 5. That was how it always went. And she'd have an asthma attack, and she sat there every week. I don't know why, right? So you couldn't help but notice not just her behaviour, but by the time she's broken, and it was a one-use-only bottle of this expensive perfume, we're told elsewhere, a year's wages worth of perfume. That's hard to miss, right? So she's, for whatever reason, ended up right in the middle of the whole affair, monopolising the time of Simon's special guest. That's where the story takes us. How surprised we are then, as we read the story, to discover that she is not the focus of the encounter, but Simon is. Simon, our gracious host. Simon, the teacher of the law. Simon, the good man who loved little. Simon, the man who had lost touch with his need for God's forgiveness and so lost touch with God. Simon thought he was entertaining a prophet. He assumed that Jesus was just like himself and so misunderstood him completely. And that's the danger, isn't it? With our relationship with Jesus, because we so easily assume that he is just like us. And as we put him into that box, that category, we lose touch with the real Jesus. We have a Jesus of our imagination, the Jesus who is just like us, who shares our priorities and shares our prejudices and shares our aspirations, who thinks that we are just as important as we think we are. You see, Jesus is not like Simon. He's not even like us. He's one of us, but he's not like us. He is holy. He is righteous. He is God. He is the Lord. So it's a very dangerous thing, isn't it, for us or Simon to do, to assume that Jesus is just like us. But of course, we all do. It's our default setting. Look at any stained glass window and there is this, you know, blonde Anglo-Saxon, you know, coming out of the clouds or whatever Jesus is doing in the stained window of your choice. Well, that's good if you're Scandinavian, but it's not very good if you're Jesus, because he was a Jew. So the whole blonde hair, blue-eyed thing just isn't going to work, is it? And in so many other ways, we, without thinking, not deliberately, just without thinking, automatically assume that Jesus is just like us. Listen to your prayers. Listen to the excuses we make to God for our behaviour. Oh God, you know, it's been such a busy week. I promised I would, but you know. And as we do, it's like, you know, we're negotiating with ourselves. Because surely he'll understand. Surely he'll share our perspective. Look at the way we give ourselves completely to him when we come to faith. Lord, I'm yours. And then gradually take back little bits and pieces of our lives until we're completely in control once more. Like Simon, we judge others. We only mix with certain kinds of people. So if you get to walk into a big room full of people, then the ones you'll go for will be the ones who are like you. You just do. I do. It's natural. Truth be known, we would probably be more comfortable spending the evening at the dinner table of somebody like Simon than we would spending the evening at the dinner table of somebody like Jesus. Jesus, who is described in our reading, or just before our reading, as a friend of tax collectors and sinners, verse 34. For John the Baptist came neither eating nor drinking wine, and you say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and you say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Would we really be comfortable in the company of somebody like that? On my blue jacket over there, I have a badge. I'll show you. Some of you may have noticed it already. It's a God Squad badge. This one happens to be in the Aboriginal colours. It has three crosses on it and some words around the edge. And I wear it because of the words. Jesus Christ, friend of the outcast. I think that's a pretty good description of Jesus. But the thing we've got to acknowledge is that that's the company he chose to keep. So if Jesus came to Ormond today, I don't think he'd be found in a place like this with people like us. I don't know, and this is an indictment, I don't know where the outcasts hang out in Ormond, but I'd have to find out if I wanted to find Jesus. I think that's pretty much how it worked. And so Simon, you know, invited this prophet to dinner and was looking forward to, you know, having that kind of encounter, but that's not what he got. He got something different. He got something very different. Look at the way Jesus describes the woman who crashed Simon's party, the uninvited guest. Verse 47. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves little. Who is she? How does Jesus describe her? Shall I read it again? You've got it up there on the screen. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much. But he who has been forgiven little, loves a little. How does Jesus describe her? What is his thought about her? Who is she? Susan? Yeah, she's forgiven. So Simon sees her eventually, you'd have to notice her, in the room and thinks, there is the town's scarlet woman. But Jesus looks at her and says, here is a woman who's been forgiven. And there's all the difference in the world between those two categories. But that's how he thinks. Who is she? She's a forgiven person. She is one of the redeemed. As Jesus says in verse 50, her faith has saved her. Now let me ask you again. Would you be comfortable in the company of somebody like that? Yes or no? Would you be comfortable in the company of someone who's a forgiven person, who is one of the redeemed? Would you? But you get a social choice in a room full of people, and we naturally gravitate towards those who are like us. Jesus gravitated towards those who were forgiven. So Jesus sits at table and puts his host Simon through the grinder. And as he does so, he's doing a little work on our categories, isn't he? You see, Jesus refuses to let this woman's past define her. It is her future that he's interested in, not her past. Do you know he thinks about us in the same way? And it doesn't matter whether your past is good or bad. It doesn't define you from Jesus' point of view. You see, imagine that same room full of people. You know the people Jesus would go for if he walked into the room? He'd go for those who were forgiven. He would go for the redeemed. And they're a motley crew. Look around you. But that's how Jesus sees us. Jesus doesn't define us by our past, no matter how good or how bad. It's kind of not relevant because it's our future that he's interested in. It's who we're becoming that interests him. This has significant ramifications for the way that we think about people. Because we just naturally define people by their past. Reliable, unreliable. Faithful, unfaithful. Helpful, unhelpful. What a relief to know that God doesn't think like us. What a relief to know that Jesus is not like us. Your past, whether good or bad, does not define you. It is your relationship with Jesus that defines you, the health or otherwise of that relationship. Verse 44, he turned toward the woman and said to Simon, do you see this woman? I came into your house. You did not give me any water for my feet, but she wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You did not give me a kiss, but this woman from the time I entered has not stopped kissing my feet. You did not put oil on my head, but she has poured perfume on my feet. Therefore I tell you, her many sins have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who has been forgiven little loves little. You see, Jesus pierces through our veneer, the way we like to think about ourselves, the way we like others to think about us, and shows us that we all have the same need and the same remedy, forgiveness. Friends, Jesus is not interested in where you've been. The only interest he has in where you've been is that you might be set free from that, inasmuch as that defines you, inasmuch as you allow it to define you. Because he's got somewhere he wants to take you, a direction he has prepared. It's where you're going that is the focus of Jesus' attention. So two things. Take heart. Jesus will not reject anyone who comes to him. Anyone. Anyone. I think we will. I think we will reject people who try and come to Jesus. No, they're not our kind of person. That's okay. That just means we have some growing to do. But Jesus will not reject anyone. He will not reject anyone for any reason. Because he's not looking at your past and making an assessment. He's entirely future focused. His only interest in your past is that you might be set free from it. Jesus will not reject anyone who comes to him, for all alike are unworthy of his love. Isn't that a relief? We're all the same. We were at Seb's camp, I've told you this before, and Ross Gaston was talking to me. We have communion with the boys, it's pretty rough and ready, and we're making our way back to the campsite. And Ross said, you know, 5 years ago I took communion for the first time at this camp. I thought, wow, I didn't know that. Isn't that exciting? He said, yeah, I used to think I was unworthy. And we all laughed and patted him on the back and said, yeah, and now you know you're unworthy. True statement. True statement. So that means a couple of things, friends. One, don't be Simon the Pharisee. That wouldn't be smart. Don't do that. Someone who spoke about the mercy of God but didn't think they needed it for themselves. Don't be like Simon and judge others, putting them into categories, good people, bad people. Friends, next to Jesus, we're all bad people. So if you're going to put yourself in a category, let's start there. Okay, we'll work our way out. Second, beware of rejecting those whom God accepts. Beware of rejecting those whom God accepts. It's lesson number one in human nature, isn't it? That we all think we are the exception. So I'm a classic at this. I'll walk up to a sign that says, do not enter, and I will think in my head, that applies to other people. Are you like me? I mean, is that thick or what? But that's how I think. I'm an exception. I'm not saying I'm exceptional. I just think I'm not the same as everybody else. Isn't that saying the same thing? I think it is. This is a lie from the devil. And we have to own up to it and put it to death. You know, there's about 300 people in this church. Guess what? You're the same as all the rest. So am I. It's extraordinary, isn't it? It's a revelation for me when I realized that I was just like everybody else. You can laugh, that's okay. But it's true. I'm a special case. I'm an exception. I'm different. No, you're not. There's 6 billion people in the world, friends. You're just one of them. Where Jesus is concerned, we're all the same. There are only two kinds of people in the world. Those who know their need of God's forgiveness and have asked for it, and those who don't. And it's as simple as that. Which group would you rather be in the company of? That's the question. As I said, I think we'd probably all be more naturally more comfortable, you know, spending an evening with Simon the Pharisee. The discipline of the Christian life is to see it how it really is and to see that the person we need to spend the evening with is Jesus and his motley crew. And just be blessed by that, to see ourselves as just like everybody else, just in need of the same forgiveness, just needing to spend time with the same Saviour. Because we have the same need. And take it from there. Then Jesus said to her, your sins are forgiven. And the other guests began to say among themselves, who is this? They even forgive sins. Jesus said to the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Friends, so may it be with us. The Lord be with you.